Hallelujah. I trust this morning that you truly are looking forward to that day and that time when we will dance on those golden streets and all this will be done away with. Hallelujah. Looking forward to it, I am. But in the meantime, we are here, we are living on this earth, and God has given us some instruction in His Word and how to live, and we're looking at working our way through the Sermon on the Mount and understanding that God had a plan and a purpose in sharing this, and it was that we would understand that this is what the kingdom of heaven looks like. This is what the kingdom of heaven is made up of. And so we're working our way through, and we're starting with chapter 7 today, and the title of the sermon is Do Not Judge. And I remember the time, if you remember me saying this before, forgive me for it, but I thought it fit for the opening of the sermon here this morning. About 25 years ago, I was doing service work for Bylers out on the road, doing different jobs, going to different places. And one day I was working over on 72, Jones Pontiac or whatever it was over there. And I left the job. And as I left the job there, it was lunchtime. And I pulled out there and I had my lunchbox sitting here on the seat beside me. And I was arranging things as I was driving. I was looking in my lunchbox and getting my stuff arranged. You know how you shouldn't do, right? And I looked up and here was this truck pulling out in front of me. I slammed on the brakes and my lunchbox went flying on the floor, dumped everything on the floor, and I was astonished and, to say the least, a little angry. And I gave him the stink eye as he went, turned left and went past me on this side, and as I was trying to recover, it's like I was ready to take off and go again, and here I discovered that they had installed a construction light there on 72, and I looked up and the light was red. You know, I muttered under my breath, "You idiot!" You know, I made a quick judgment, but I didn't know all the facts. I was the one that was in the wrong, but I made a quick judgment. Thought about another time that I grew up in a family of five boys, and my mother, my father worked away during the day, and so mother was the keeper of the five boys, interesting. But I remember one time when mom's birthday was, we decided, my brother and I decided to make her some ice pops where we put some Kool-Aid into a cup and stuck a popsicle stick in it and stuck them in the freezer. We're going to have these ready for her. Like, this was after lunch when she would normally take her nap. And so we set out to make up these popsicles for her. And of course, I guess she assumed that things were way too quiet then, because we were being quiet and we were talking, whispering. I don't know why she would have assumed that anything bad was going on. There was, you know, that. But we were good. And so she came sneaking into the kitchen. So what's going on here? Well, of course, it was nothing. No, nothing. Nothing going on. And she had seen somebody come from the freezer door, because we had already had the ice pops in the freezer. And she went over and opened the freezer door and said, "What are you doing?" You know, and here was the ice pops that we were making for. So we told her what we were doing. And she apologized and everything. But I just, again, there was a quick judgment made that we were up to something. I still don't know why that would have crossed her mind, but she made a quick judgment that there was something going on because of our sneaking around until she found out the facts, and then it was different. And so, looking at the sermon this morning, do not judge. Recognize that we are living in a time, we are living in a day where we're called to observe and to see the things that are going on around us, and we make judgments about things that are happening, and I think it's a reminder for us to be careful that we are careful in our judgment and how we make judgment. And looking at this scripture again and recognizing that Jesus is in this sermon is sharing with his disciples the importance of what the kingdom of heaven looked like, what it looked like to be kingdom people. And this morning, he is sharing with us is that the idea that if we are going to be kingdom people, then we need to be careful that we are not judgmental people. And if you look at this scripture, there's another word that is used for judge there, is to condemn. So once we read the scripture, I'll point that out some more. But just wanting to point out to you again that this sermon started out, and it says in chapter 5, and seeing the multitudes, and seeing the multitudes. He went up on a mountain, and when he was seated with his disciples, came to him. Then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying. And again this morning, I want us to recognize that as we look at this scripture, as we consider this scripture, that Jesus, seeing the multitudes, he saw you and he saw me. And that was is important for us, I think, as we look at this scripture, that we understand that this is coming from the heart of Jesus to your heart, to my heart. And there's no question that as the world gets darker around us, as the world gets darker, and this is important for us to understand and to get this, is that as the world gets darker around us, then the light that we bring will get brighter. As the world gets darker, your light, my light, or the light of Jesus that shines in us, we are light bearers. We carry the light. The light will get brighter as the world gets darker. And so we are called to a high calling. Look at, and you know, might think, Luke, you talk too much doomsday. I think there are some things happening that we need to be paying attention to. And there's no question in my mind that this is a day that we live in where it is getting darker. No question in my mind. Therefore, the Christian should be brighter than they have ever been before. The light should stand out in the darkness more than it ever did. And I believe that's what God's calling us to, that as we live lives according to his kingdom, as we live lives with following his spirit, that we will be the light of the world and there will be something that people can follow. Now is the time for the Christian to shine. Now is the time. Now is the time for the Christian to shine like never before. And you can turn with me to Matthew chapter 7, and we'll be looking at verses 1 through 6. Matthew chapter 7 starts out like this: judge not that you be not judged. And another word that could be used there is condemn not, that you be not condemned. For with what judgment or condemnation you condemn, you will be condemned. And with what measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye, and look, a plank is in your own eye? Hypocrite! First remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you in pieces. And I realized this morning that in the previous scriptures, Jesus kind of deals with more of an internal thing, or the things of our attitudes, an internal spiritual life, like our attitudes in giving, prayer, fasting, materialism, anxiety over material things. And he touches, and then today he's getting into this here theme of, is not only about how you live, about how what your spirit is or what's inside of you, but it's also about how you treat others. It's also about how you treat others. And so he found that important enough to include it in the Sermon on the Mount, that we should take a look at, judge not that you be not judged. And if there is one scripture that the whole world knows, if there's one scripture that even ungodly people know, it is that scripture right there. Judge not that you be not judged. They'll say that to you whenever you share a gospel truth with them, or you share the moral value of scripture with them. They'll be quick to share that with you. They know that scripture, and we all know it. Judge not that you be not judged. And what I think the world would like it to say is that you can't say anything to me about moral truth. You can't say anything to me about moral truth. And that is not what this scripture is saying. It is not what this scripture is saying. That when we judge not that you be not judged. And we want to, case in point, if we look a little bit farther on in Matthew, in this, we'll be coming to Matthew chapter, or Matthew 7:15 talks about being aware of the false prophets. And what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to observe the fruits to determine whether or not they are false prophets. So there are judgments that we need to make as it relates to moral living and what it means and what we see in another person. And so there is not this here idea. What Jesus was not promoting is that you can't say anything to anyone about anything. Judge not that you be not judged. And there are a number of other scriptures that speak to areas that we're called to make judgment. I'll just quick point out a couple of them. 1 Corinthians 5:11, but now I've written to you not to keep company with anyone named a brother who is sexually immoral or covetous or an idolater or a reviler or a drunkard or an extortioner, not even to eat with such a person. So there is an understanding we need to have that is that person truly following a moral code of conduct. In Titus, Paul instructed Titus, in Titus chapter 3, verse 10, it says, reject a divisive man after the first and second admonition, knowing that such a person is warped and sinning, being self-condemned. So there's an element of evaluating, is this person being an immoral person, or are they being a divisive person, or are they false prophets? Are they not speaking the truth of God's word? And the truth, false prophet the false prophet is identified by his fruit. And so there needs to be the inspection of the fruit to see whether or not that the person is speaking the truth. And I want you to inspect my fruit. I want you to inspect my fruit. When I preach, when I share the word, it is my heart's desire to share the word in its entire truth. I'm still a human being, and I still stand, there are still things I'm learning. So I ask you, as you consider that, what I'm saying, if it doesn't sound right, ask me about it. Ask me about it. Judge not that you be not judged. So with this judgment, Jesus is warning, passing judgment on others, because when we do this, we'll be judged by this in similar matter. And I think the thing that Jesus is pointing out is that when we do this here judging, if we do it in a condemning, judgmental, not knowing the facts, not knowing everything, we make a judgment that is not Christ-like in our judging that way. Getting behind on my notes here, so just give me a moment. One of the things that I think is important that we understand, that as we look at this here scripture, judge not that you be not judged, for with what judgment you judge, you will be judged, and with what measure you use, it will be measured back to you. One of the things that I think is important for us to understand is that when we see people or we find people in our realm, our sphere of living, that we recognize are not living according to the moral values of Scripture, that when we share with them, that it is still possible. Listen to this. You have to get this morning. It is possible to love someone who disagrees with you. It is possible to love someone who has moral values that do not line up with God's word. It is possible to love them. It is true that it is possible to love the sinner, but to hate the sin. You say, why? How do you know it's possible? Well, think about yourself. Think about how you make exception for yourself, how you love yourself, even though that there is sin in your life. And you've experienced times where there's been sin in your life. You've recognized it, and you want people to be extremely gracious with you. You want people to understand, and you want people to be gracious and be caring and loving. And that's the same that other people want. If I'm going to be true to this scripture, to not judge condemning, that I understand that even I myself, I love myself, while there are things that are not pure yet, and I want myself to be gracious with myself, and the same is what I want for other people. So while the scripture doesn't prohibit from examining the lives of others, it certainly prohibits doing it in the spirit that it's often done in. Let me read that again. So while this does not prohibit examining the lives of others, it certainly prohibits doing it in the spirit it is often done in. And I think, friends, this morning, as we think about community and we think about as we share with each other, as we share with people around us, and we look at the culture that is around us, and we are becoming more aware all the time of this here freedom to choose your gender or same-sex marriage and these kind of things, that I believe that the world needs to hear the Christian speak the truth about. Because these are not controversial issues in Scripture. They are very clear. They're not controversial. They are very clear in Scripture. And therefore, we need to be willing that when we see these things, that we love those people, but we hate the sin, and we speak truth. A couple of ways that I think we break this command is, and I'm just going to go down over a couple of things I have here. We break this command when we think the worst of others. We break this command of not judging when we think the worst of others. You hear something, and right away you're like, yep, I can believe that. You ought to know his dad. You should have met his dad. So right away we place a judgment, and we believe something. We think the worst of someone else. When we hear something, it's like, yeah, I believe that. I believe that of them. Why is it that we are so quick to believe what we hear instead of going and finding out the truth about what the matter is? Because we become judgmental when we are willing to receive and think the worst of others. We break this command when we only speak to others about their faults. When is the time that you had a neighbor that, as you know, is living in moral sin, so is living with a woman that is not married to, or a woman living with a man that she's not married to, and the only thing you can ever talk to him about, or her, the only thing you can ever talk to him about is this immoral relationship. It's the only thing you ever talk about. When you see him, you bring it up again. When you see him, you bring it up again. When we only speak to others of their faults, I think we break this commandment of judging not. Because we're not giving the entire truth of the scripture. And the scripture is that there is redemption. There is redemption for your soul. I don't care how bad you have been. I don't care what you have done. There is redemption in Jesus Christ, in his blood, and in him alone. There is no other way to come to the Father except through the blood of Jesus. And what that person needs more than anything, what that person needs more than knowing that they're living wrong, is how to live right and what will make it right. We break this command, I believe, when we judge an entire life by its worst moments. Think about the three worst things you ever did. Think about the three worst things you ever did in your life that you wish would not be attached to your life, that you wish would have never happened. You think of the worst things that ever happened in your life, and yet that's the things that I believe when we are willing to remember or to judge or to identify people or put them in a category because of some time that they messed up in their life. Because I believe, again, the heart of this scripture is that there is redemption. There is redemption. And if we are going to judge someone, if we are going to put people into a category because of something that they did when they messed up, I don't want people to remember me by my worst moment. I don't want people to remember me by my worst moment. Neither do you. And so we should be quick to forget those things about people that were wrong, were bad, were not good. Are you willing this morning to not cast judgment, but to reach out with a redemptive heart and say, I'm not going to remember that. I'm not going to remember you by that. I had an interesting situation happen here at church one time, and these people don't come here anymore, but there was an individual that started coming here to church, and if I said this to you before, I apologize. And I walked up to him, shook his hand, said, "Hi, how are you? What's your name?" And he gave me his name. And in a weak moment, I said, who's your dad? And he said, and I will never forget, and if I ever ask you again who your dad is, then I won't be a past what I feel. He said, "Well, my dad was not a good man." He said, "I would rather you not know me by my dad." Are there people in your circles that you have identified because of what dad did, because of what mom did, or even about what they did? And so it changed my approach. Occasionally I slip up and I still do it because I still got that whole genealogy thing in my head. We break this command when we judge an entire life by its worst moments. We break this command when we judge the hidden motives of others. How often have you done it? How often have I done that? When we judge the hidden motives of someone else, when the motives are not clear, why they're doing what they're doing, we make a judgment. We pass a judgment on somebody. "Yeah, I know what he's up to." No, you don't. No, you don't. My mom didn't know what we were up to. She didn't know what we were up to. She thought she did. She thought we were up to no good. It's okay. I love my mom. She apologized for it. She's not living anymore, but she passed a judgment. She passed a judgment on a hidden motive. She didn't know what we were doing. How often do we do that? How often do we do that to our spouses? How often do we do that to our children? How often do we do that to the people at church? How often do we do that to our neighbors? Oh, there he is again. He has his tractor out on Sunday. Little do we know that he was out of feed for the cows and he had to get the mixer out and mix some feed. He forgot it Saturday night. Does that make him a bad person? But no, we judge the hidden motives. Yeah, he was lazy. He didn't get up on time Saturday and get it done, so he had to do it on Sunday. Are you with me? How quickly we judge the hidden motives of other people. I think we break this commandment to not judge other people. We break this command when we judge others without considering ourselves in the same circumstance. If without considering ourselves in the same circumstance, if we were in the circumstance that they were in, what would we do? What would we do? No, we quickly discern that we know somehow what's right. We break this command when we judge others without being mindful that we ourselves will be judged. We break this command, I believe. And here's a quote that I have wrote down by Doe Zantamanta. "It's easy to judge. It's more difficult to understand. Understanding requires compassion, patience, and willingness to believe that good hearts sometimes choose poor methods. Through judging, we separate. Through understanding, we grow." End of quote. Let me read that again. It's easy to judge. It's more difficult to understand. It's easy to judge. It's more difficult to understand, to try and gain understanding before we place a judgment. Understanding requires compassion, patience, and willingness to believe that good hearts sometimes choose poor methods. Through judging, we separate. Through understanding, we grow. things. This is a very difficult thing. This is a very difficult thing to practice and to live in the modern culture that we're living in today. The modern culture that says that anytime you speak of a biblical moral value to our culture today, you're identified as a hateful person. You're identified as a hateful person. So we are to judge not, that we be not judged, and we are supposed to, we're supposed to share biblical values. We're supposed to lead people to the kingdom of God and to share with them. But we live in a modern culture that is quick to say that you're hateful if you're sharing these things. So how do we as Christians stand for biblical truth and sometimes express disapproval of people's action without breaking this command? How do we stand for biblical truth and share a disapproval of someone's action without breaking the commandment of not judging? Because I believe that we are called to do that. Because more and more in our culture, any expression of that sin or that's not right is viewed as hatred. As if we were not allowed to give any expression of biblical morality. In the Christian realm today, the words that are used, you're harsh. You're harsh. If you share a biblical moral value, you're identified as being harsh. First, so how do we do this? And I think this is probably one of the most important things, that if we are going to share biblical moral values, then this is really important. That first of all, we need to stick to truth. We need to stick to truth. If we are going to share biblical moral values with people that are not living it out, then we need to stick to biblical truth. We can't manufacture what we believe or what we think. We need to stick to the biblical truth of the matter if we are going to do it in a way that builds up. Because, you know, I can preach the word, and I can preach God's word, and I know that in a here, not so much. I'm talking about in a broader sense, in the culture that we live in, the things that I share over this pulpit would sometimes really cause a stir, would cause people to be angry, would cause people to hate. And I'm okay with that. I understand that, coming from the world, coming from people who are not followers of Jesus Christ. I can take that. Someday I might sit in prison for it. I don't know. I'm not saying that they're going to bust through the doors this morning and haul me off, but I'm okay with that because I'm sharing biblical moral truth from God's word. And so we have to be okay. We have to understand that in order to not break this commandment, we need to continue to speak the truth of God's word. God's word. Not what theologians, professors, and such are telling us, but the true word of God. Those people that are saying the right thing is good to follow, no problem. But what I'm saying is we need to stick to the word of God if we're not to break that commandment. If it's not biblical truth that we are standing on, then we're guilty of breaking the command of judging. When we share biblical truth, when we share the value of God's word, when we share biblical truth, then we're sharing, it's not I that's judging. The scripture judges. God's word judges. It's not me that's bringing judgment. I'm sharing with you what the word says. But I love you. I love you. This is what God's word says. And never let the person with a doubt in their mind that you cared for them when you shared the value of Scripture with them. Never let them walk away without believing that you actually genuinely cared for their soul. But I think there's another area of truth that we need to reckon with. is that when we're looking at this thing of judging people by their worst moments and that kind of thing, when someone, another place that we need to be truthful is that when people disagree or they attack us, that we have to speak the truth about them as well. When people disagree with us or they attack us, then we need to be quick to speak the truth about them as well, because we are quick to fall into this here speaking things that are not true about the person then. So I think it's important that if we're not going to break this commandment of judging not, that we are quick to understand that with those people that attack us and disagree with us, that we speak the truth about them. So when you're talking to your neighbor, you're talking to your brother about the person that has attacked you or disagreed with you, are you speaking truth? Are you speaking truth or are you judging them? Are you judging condemnation upon them people when you speak it to other people? Are you speaking the truth? We need to speak the truth. Sometimes Christians use phony arguments against the people that they disagree with. Speak only truth with respect and humility. Speak only truth with respect and humility. Moving on in the scripture, in verse 2 it says, For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged, and with what measure you use, it will be measured back to you. So we need to be careful that as we're looking at this whole thing of judging, that we understand that there is a judge that judges us. There's one who judges us, and that is God. And he is the one that looks at your life. He's the one that sees your heart. He's the one that knows where you're coming from. He understands you. He knows you like nobody else. And when you're considering meeting out judgment or condemnation, be careful that as you judge, you will be judged with the measure that you use. It will be measured back to you. You see, we want this giving people grace, or giving people the grace to have done something wrong. You know, all of us, every one of us wants our friends, our church family, our family to measure out grace to us when we have failed, when we have a shortcoming. We want the whole family to measure out grace in big piles of grace to us. But we are not as willing. We are more willing to measure it back with a teaspoon. I'll give you a teaspoon of grace. I'll give you a teaspoon of understanding. I'll give you a teaspoon of accepting you for what you are. But we want it dumped on us in big measure. And so we become judgmental. And the way we measure it out, we don't measure it out the same way that we want it back. So when you're thinking about other people, when you're measuring out, remember that you want it back the same way it was given to you. According to the teaching of some rabbis in Jesus' time, God had two measures that he used to judge people. One was a measure of justice, and the other was a measure of mercy. Whichever measure you want God to use with you, you should use that same measure with others. We should only judge another's behavior when we are mindful of the fact that we ourselves will be judged, and we should consider how we would want to be judged. And here, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time in the next three verses here. In verse 3 it says, "And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank that is in your own eye?" And Jesus here gives somewhat of almost a hilarious example of what it's like. He gives a pretty clear of what we're trying to do when we are judgmental, when we are condemning of other people, when there's sin in our own life. And so he goes on and he says here in this here scripture, he says in verse 4, "Or how can you say to your brother, 'Let me remove the speck from your eye,' and look, a plank is in your own eye? And I was going to bring a yardstick along up here to give an illustration of a plank sticking out of my eye, trying to pick sawdust out of your eye. It's foolish, really, isn't it? That if I had this plank sticking out of my eye, that I can't even get close enough to you to pick the sawdust out of your eye. That's what he's saying. It's that simple. If you're going to go to someone, if you're going to judge someone, if you're going to evaluate their character when there's a plank in my own eye, if I am involved in sexual impurity, then I have no business speaking to someone else about their moral values, who they're living with and who they're not living with. If I am not being sexually pure, there's a plank in my own eye that needs to be dealt with before I can ever share with someone or bring the light of truth to someone else and help them along. Is this saying that you have to be sinless and pure before God before you ever attempt to help someone in a struggle that they have? No, it's not. Because I recognize that we continue to grow. We continue to find areas of our lives that God reveals to us, and we deal with them. But when you have a plank in your eye and are trying to pick the speck out of someone else's eye, it can't be done. And the scripture says in verse 5, hypocrite. He calls those people hypocrites who ignore big sin in their own lives and try to help someone with their little sin, if there are big and little sins. First, remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. First, what did he say? First, remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. So there is a judgment. There is a helping other people. But first of all, is dealing with that sin in my own heart before I do that. But when I've dealt with that, help someone. You know, who is better able to help someone that's involved in sexual immorality than the person who has been there and has become pure, has been able to walk through it? That person can come alongside of, and I use that just as an illustration. It could be anything, any sin, whatever it might be. Impulsive buying. If you've been an impulsive buyer and you've blown all your life savings, what better than for someone who has done the same thing but was able to overcome and come alongside of you and help you walk through that? That's what God does. That's what God does. There's redemption. There is redemption. And we look at just a quote from Spurgeon says this: Jesus is gentle, but he calls that man a hypocrite who fusses about small things in others and pays no attention to great matters at home in his own person. You might have found a way to ignore the plank in your own eye, but I assure you, other people can see it. Because it sticks out. The plank can't be hidden. First, remove the plank from your own eye, then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Jesus wasn't saying that it was wrong to help the person with the speck, but he said, get the plank out of your eye first so that you can help them. Then we come to verse 6, which it's like almost like it doesn't fit here, but I believe it does. It says in verse 6, do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. So I believe that Jesus is saying, don't be judgmental, but here there's also, use some discernment. Use some discernment about when you're sharing the gospel, when you're helping someone, when you're reaching out to someone, when you are giving the gospel to them, be discerning about it. There are people that I don't care how long you shove the gospel down their throat, the pearls of the gospel, that as you continue to stuff them down their throat until they're full, they will not and do not choose to repent. I believe that there is a time and a place that we are casting our pearls before swine when we continue to share the gospel and share the gospel. I believe there comes a place and a time where we need to just live it out for them. We need to live it out for them. We need to let them see what it looks like and stop pushing the pearls down their throat. Lest they trample them, do not give what is holy to dogs, it says first. Do not cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you into pieces. So I believe again that as we look at this here judging, that we understand that we are not to be condemning, judgmental people. We are also to be discerning people. Are we giving what's holy to the dogs? Those that have rejected the gospel, we continue to reject it. Jesus talks about it further on. He tells the disciples, he sent them out two by two. And what did he tell them? To go into a town, and he says there to share the gospel with them. And when they have shared the gospel with the people in the town, that if the people do not receive the gospel, what were they supposed to do? Keep on stuffing it? Keep on preaching it? There might be a time and a place for that. I'm not saying that all continuing to share the gospel is wrong. Not what I'm saying. Don't hear that. But be discerning. There might be times, there might be places where Jesus is saying, shake the dust off. Shake the dust off and start talking to someone else. Start sharing with. You won't run out of people. You won't run out of people here in Lancaster County. You won't run out of people in your neighborhood to share the gospel with. You won't, because they're there. They're up here at Walmart. They're over here at New Holland Family Restaurant. They're at Terry Hill Restaurant. There are people who need the gospel message. They don't need to be judged. They need the pure gospel message shared with them. And we are the people of God living in a dark time where we are called to be the saints of God and to be the light bearers. Everywhere you're at, you work with them, you go to school with them, you know who I'm talking about. Are you seriously reaching out to them with the gospel? Instead of judging, well, what they're doing is bad. These are really, really bad people. Yes, they are. Anyone without Christ is a bad person. They are going to spend an eternity in hell. That's why you and I should feel the compassion and the passion in our hearts to stop judging and start speaking the truth to them. Start bringing the gospel to them. And you say, why don't do that, Luke? You know what? I like to think I don't, but I like to think at the same time, I need to think that when I walk past that person in Walmart, is there certain aspects of that person that would stop me from actually reaching out to them and sharing the gospel with them? Is there certain aspects of a family member? Is there certain aspects of a coworker? Is there certain aspects of a neighbor that you're not reaching out to because you don't say it. You don't say it. But you do it when you walk past them. I've done it. And this scripture was hard on me. My call to you this morning again is see these people for what they are in God's eyes. They're God's children. They're God's children. They're God's people. And God's heart is extremely grieved with the fact that they will spend an eternity in hell because I was judgmental and chose by my judgmental condemning attitude to not share the pure gospel message with them of redemption. I trust this morning that as God speaks to your heart, open your eyes to what's around you. Open your eyes to what you see, what you can see, when you're busy doing other things is when we miss these people. We get so involved in what we're doing and wrapped up in it. Let's stand together for a closing prayer. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you this morning for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity we have to come to you and call you Father. Lord, I pray that there would not be a spirit of heaviness from this here message this morning, but that we would be encouraged and enlightened and be able to walk in a proper attitude towards those that are around us, Lord. God, I pray that you would forgive us for the times that we have been judgmental, the times that we have made judgments not knowing all the facts, the times that we have condemned people to other people, the times that we have opened our mouths and spoke untruths not knowing the truth. Father, I pray that you would forgive us for that. Father, I pray that right now you minister to our hearts and make our tongues and our hearts pure before you. Make our judgments pure before you. Father, give us boldness to be able to speak of the moral right living that you have designed in your scriptures and your word that you've given to us that this culture is so desperately in need of. Help us, Lord, to recognize the right places to say it, the places not to. Lord, I pray again this morning for the church. I pray that you would continue to protect us, Lord, and grow us and shape us and mold us into the people that you want us to be. God, I recognize this morning that the enemy's desire is to kill, steal, and destroy, and he wants to destroy the church. And Lord, this morning, we're asking you to be the one that protects and guides. Father, I pray that in each of our hearts would be connected with your spirit and would be led by you. So Father, again today, as we fellowship together here around food and friends and families, Lord, I pray that this would be a time of good fellowship here this afternoon as we have our fellowship meal. Lord, I pray that you would bless the food, that you would cleanse it and purify it, Lord, that it would be able to be received by our bodies. Lord, I pray for the conversation that happens. Lord, I pray that we would be able to encourage each other and strengthen each other through your spirit. And I pray again this morning, Lord, that your spirit would reign supreme over our fellowship meal. In Jesus' name, amen. And to those of you that are visiting with us this morning, we do have a fellowship meal, and you are welcome to stay. We will take the chairs, not all the chairs down, but set up tables, and you're able to welcome to join in to a fellowship meal here. So if the chorus will come and lead us in a closing song.